Hi everyone, this is L Boogie, and this is season 3 of Listen to L Boogie. Today is Friday, July 21st, 2021, and I look forward to bringing you guys some current events and commentary. See you guys soon. Peace. Hi everyone, this is L Boogie. This is the first episode of season 3. I have 3 stories for you guys, and I'll be back shortly with our first story. Peace. Hi guys, I'm back. I'm so glad to be back. This is season 3 of Listen to L Boogie, and we're gonna go to work right now. Our first story for the 2021 season of Listen to L Boogie is, congratulations Bonquisha, woman's car buying experience ruined by a racist Facebook post. This ought to be very interesting. It's by Victor Armandi. A woman's car buying experience was ruined when the car dealer made a racist Facebook post about the experience. Trinity Bethune, 21, from North Carolina, was very excited about buying her first car, Toyota Camry, at the Lumberton Honda dealership in Lumberton, North Carolina, with her own money. However, on Tuesday, July 22nd, Bethune was shocked to see a post on the dealership's Facebook site accompanied with her photo saying, congratulations to Bonquisha on her 2016 Toyota Camry. And Bonquisha had something to say about that. And it goes, I'm not sure if this is a joke or something, but my name is definitely Trinity Bethune, she responded. I'm very offended by this post. It's almost a racial slur. If I'm not addressed by my name, please don't address me at all. The post was online for more than an hour before it was taken down, according to the 21-year-old. However, screenshots of it rapidly went viral on social media. Speaking to WTVD, the young professional who works as a personal care assistant in Cumberland County said, the name Bonquisha seems like a stereotype for someone you know, for them to be like ghetto. It's something people use towards black people as a slur and as an offensive term. Bethune further relayed how hurtful she felt to be reduced to a stereotype, yet she carried herself in a very well manner. Taking to his Facebook page, Bethune's older brother defended her, saying, this is not how I plan to congratulate my little sister on her first car purchase. This is completely intentional, disgusting, unfair, and many other adjectives I could use to describe the situation. Typing Bonquisha required effort and intent. I'm outraged that she was publicly humiliated without a public, private apology. I'm waiting to hear back from a couple of my colleagues in the legal space. But please tell me if this is something my family should explore. She's not well at the moment. If you know her, please send her love, wrote Bethune's brother. Speaking off camera with WTBD, the owner said that the employee who made the racist post has since been fired. The dealer also claimed to have apologized to Bethune on Thursday. Bethune says she's contemplating filing a lawsuit against the dealership. Well. Well, we're starting 2021 off with a bang. The only language they understand is a lawsuit. Now, I'm going to go out and say that for this salesman or whomever made the slur or statement to feel comfortable to do so, he works in an atmosphere that makes it comfortable for him to feel like he was, that he could make such a statement about a black woman that came there and purchased a vehicle from that dealership. Otherwise, it would have never happened. So the dealer, the owner, dealer of the dealership, really had no choice but firing the knucklehead because he got caught. If he had not been caught, or if he had circulated it privately, nothing probably would have been done. But such is life. So it is only right that she get a lawyer and break them off something proper like. Because when the money leaves his bank account or the business's bank account, and he sees that it left, then he will understand that you have to be careful who you hire, and that you have to have an atmosphere at your job that doesn't foster that type of behavior. That's all I have to say about that. I'll be back after a short break. Alrighty, we're back. You're back listening to El Boogie. I have a very interesting story about Philadelphia public schools. Philadelphia plans to close 23 schools but build a $400 million prison. Here we go. That Philadelphia School Reform Commission voted to approve the budget to close the schools in spite of pleas from parents and students not to do so. A total of 23 schools will be closed, roughly 10% of those in the city. A stunning 81% of those school closings are going to impact black students, even though they only represent 58% of the student body. According to the Philadelphia Inquirer, students are going to help cover the city's debt by returning to class without new materials for learning. The impact is going to be felt more in poor communities. A total of 3,000 people are going to lose their jobs, and programs in sports, art, and music are going to be cut. RT also reported the cuts that students are going to endure are not going to fill the budget gap, since the Republican-controlled House of Representatives just approved a tax break for corporations that will cost the state $600 to $800 million per year. The state is going to invest $400 million to build two correctional facilities. The prisons that are being expanded have been subject to lawsuits claiming sexual and physical abuse of inmates. Journalist Renana Collette said that the racial disparities in the prison and school population in Philadelphia create a literal school-to-prison pipeline that destroys the future of black children. In Philadelphia, black students comprise 81% of those who will be impacted by the closing, despite accounting for only 58% of the overall student population, she wrote. In stark contrast, just 4% of those affected are white kids, who make up 14% of Philly students. And though they make up 81% of the Philadelphia students, 93% of the kids affected by the closings are low income. That's hard. So now, The reality is the school to prison pipeline is real for black communities. I hear Dr. Umar talk about this all the time, and Dr. Umar is from the Philadelphia area, so he definitely knows what he's talking about. This is just the first article that I've ever read that actually admitted that there is a school to prison pipeline. So we're gonna have to close ranks as a community to protect our kids. And all this individualism and, oh, well, as long as it's not affecting my child, you know, we got to grow out of that, because if we're not, a lot of our children aren't going to make it, and it's going to create a permanent underclass for our kids, considering the fact that, you know, the country is making efforts to import enough other people to try to cover our numbers politically. But then that's a whole nother show. I'll be back with our third insert. See y'all soon. Peace. All right, we're back. Our third and final story is a tragic event concerning a 15-year-old child. Baltimore officer charged with abuse, murder of 15-year-old stepson. A Baltimore officer is charged with murder and child abuse after being accused of hiding his 15-year-old stepson's body in an attic crawl space and assaulting police who tried to arrest him. Eric Banks Jr., 34, was initially arrested on charges of assault on a police officer and trying to disarm an officer. And Arundale County authorities said Wednesday during a morning news conference. Charges of first and second degree murder, as well as child abuse resulting in death, were added later, according to online court records filed Tuesday. He is being held without bond. Dyson Jones' body was found last week during a search of Banks and Arundale County home after Jones' mother contacted police and said she could not reach her son by phone. The mother, who is married to Banks, told police that she believed her son was being held against his will. According to NBC affiliate WBAL of Baltimore, citing charging documents. Authorities said Wednesday that officer went to Banks' home and questioned him. According to Ann Arundale police, Banks told police that Jones had left and did not bring any of his belongings with him. Officers checked the home and found Jones in a crawl space in an upstairs attic, police said. The officer checked the residence and discovered the teen's unresponsive, locating him in an upstairs attic crawl space, said Ann Arundale County Police spokesman Justin McCarley. Banks said that my life is over and choked me during the arrest, McCarley alleged. Banks was charged with assaulting, resisting arrest, and other offenses. The state medical examiner determined cause of death of 15-year-old Dyson was asphyxiation and ruled it a homicide, McCarty said. Glen Burnie High School said Jones, known as DJ, had just completed his freshman year in the Biomedical Applied Health Program. He was a violin player and took great pride in his academics, the school said. This is absolutely heartbreaking, traumatic, and horrific case. And Arundale County Police Chief Amal Awad said, this was a young man with a bright future, yet his life was tragically taken. Jones' family buried their son on Monday. A GoFundMe page has been created to finance the funeral's expenses. Sad story. Well, this concludes the first episode of my third season of Listen to L Boogie, Friday, July 21st, 2021. I look forward to bringing you guys some more current events in future episodes. This is just one of many episodes of my third season. Talk to you guys again soon. Peace.